broken and spilled out just for love of you, Jesus, my most precious treasure, lavished on me.
For my pardon, you were spilled out.
us treasure lavished on me. You were broken and spilled out and poured at my feet. In sweet abandon, Lord, you were spilled out and used up for me.
Thank you, ensemble, while they're getting things together here. That's a good song. It's a hard song to sing. I've sung it before, and it's a difficult one. But boy, when you think about the message behind that song, it's incredible, incredible. He was broken for us, but yet we're supposed to give that love and dedication and commitment in return. By the way, folks, the Scripture says it's our reasonable service to do so for what He's done for us and how He's cared for us and loved us and taken care of us and protected us from harm's way. What a great God that we serve. And I hope, folks, that you never get to a place in life where you take the Lord for granted, that you take His favor for granted. And I lavish in it each day. I love it. I love being a Christian, don't you? I love serving God. It's the greatest business in all the world to serve the Lord and to see God move in lives and see Him do some things. I love going out witnessing to people. And opening my Bible up, talking to them about Christ and seeing the light come on in their eyes when they realize the truth that they've missed for so long, and their eyes get that little gleam and glisten in them and about discovering the greatest thing in all the world, and that's how to be saved. And you know, so many people miss it for all their life. They miss it. They listen to what someone else says and they take for granted. The heartbreaking thing is so many people are going to die and go to hell and don't know why they're there, because they did everything somebody told them to do. They did everything that they thought was the right thing to do, except they missed Jesus. Let me tell you something, folks. There's no way to heaven. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. That name and that name only. He's the door. He's the light. We're going through Him or you don't get there. That's the way it is. And what a great God that we serve. So I just thought for a moment I'd just go ahead and brag on Jesus for a minute. Is that all right? Psalm chapter 15 is where we're going to be tonight. Now while you're turning there, Psalm 15, Proverbs 1 and Proverbs 2. I'll catch up with you there in just a moment. Now let me bring us up to date where we are in our studies of character under construction, conforming to the image of Christ, our theme verse, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 29. A couple of weeks ago, I took time out to just define character, to define principles, to define integrity, to define ethics. I said that America is in a famine today, church, of character. The church is in a famine today of Christian character and principles and ethics and integrity. And the biggest stumbling block to Christian character is personal character. You don't get that under control. The Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 26 that a man that doesn't have control over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down and without walls. You're defenseless. And if we don't establish, and mamas and daddies, listen to me, if we don't build character into our children, how can we expect them to have Christian character and godly character when they become adults? It's important that you ingrain in their system and you teach them and instruct them day upon day, line upon line, precept upon precept every day of the importance of good character and living right. So we talked a little bit about that the first week, and then last week I talked to you about who is the contractor, who's the constructor. We've got character, and then we got it under construction, but who's doing the construction? You know, if you had to build Christian character yourself, you couldn't do it. That's the reason when you got saved, God gave you a teacher. God gave you a guide. God gave you one that brings all things to your remembrance to help us to construct that godly character that's needed. That constructor, that general contractor I'm talking about is none other than the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside you. That develops you and builds you. I mentioned in the message this morning, you know, the thing about it is we've got some got Christianity all turned around and twisted backwards. We think you got to work from the outside in. It's not from the outside in. Never been designed that way. Christianity has always been designed to work from the inside out. That's the reason we have to get people to the place of understanding. Listen, if they don't build Christian character, they'll never serve God for any length of time in their Christian life. So I hope you understand that, listen, we got a long ways to go on this thing of building character. It's so important. So we talked about character. We talked about who's the general contractor, who's doing the building, the teaching, the guiding. It's the Spirit of God. Person will never develop Christian character, good godly character, if they don't submit to the Holy Spirit and just surrender to Him and let Him take control. You know the reason a lot of people are afraid the Holy Spirit can take control? Because they think if He takes control, He may lead them down a path they don't want to go. He may lead them to a greater spiritual walk with God, which may lead to God calling them into some kind of special ministry or special service. So they're afraid. They don't want to give the Holy Ghost of God control because they're afraid if they do, He's going to lead them off this way and they want to stay this way. They want to stay right here. Let me tell you something, folks. If it's not in the plan of God, if it's not in the will of God for you to go a specific direction, He's going to keep you right where you are. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to surrender and submit to the Spirit of God. Well, we come now to tonight's message, and I want you to find your place there in Psalm chapter 15. Would you stand with me? We're going to read these short five verses, and then we'll read a verse out of Proverbs 1 and two verses out of Proverbs 2. David speaking here, speaking about the principled life. He said, Lord, who shall abide? Who's going to remain? Who's going to sojourn? Who's going to abide in thy tabernacle? Who is it that's going to be in positive and right relationship with you? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And he goes, he asks the question, then he answers his own question. He says, I'll tell you who it is. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt, and, notice this, changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. Now listen, church. He sums it up by saying, he that doeth these things, what things? All the things he's mentioned here from verse 2 down through verse number 5 about answering the question, who is it that can dwell and abide in thy tabernacle? He's given us a whole list of things. He said, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Now don't lose your place in Psalm 15. We're going to come back to that. Look at Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, these will be some familiar verses to you. Proverbs 1 in verse number 7. The fear of the Lord. In other words, when God gets in that place of preeminence in your life, and when God reaches that place and you allow Him that place of preeminence and you've got that right relationship with God, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And that's where it all starts. That's where character starts. That's where the principle of life starts. That's where ethics start. That's where integrity starts. It starts by a fear of the Lord. And I don't mean nail-biting fear. I'm talking about reverence fear. Reverencing fear that loves God and cares about what God desires from a child of God. Proverbs 2, verse 10 and 11. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. He said, when you get to the place where you about figured out, you know, what God's desire is and what God expects. He said, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. Now, I want to take these verses tonight and just kind of make some introductory remarks, and then we're going to go to another passage of Scripture because I want to use a visual aid tonight from Scripture. Basically, the sermon tonight is nothing but basically an illustration and a visual aid, because what I want you to see tonight, I've talked to you about character, I've talked to you about principles, talked to you about ethics, talked to you about integrity. We're going to go back and look at what David said it is, and then I want to give you a biblical example of somebody that actually practiced this. Someone that actually God used and displayed before many people what sincere character is and the principled life is. So I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, the character of character. The character of character. Father, would you bless us, help us, teach us, Spirit of God, as you promised. And Father, we want to be excited. We want to be revived. We want our hearts to be stirred from the Word of God tonight. And Father, there's not a person in this room that doesn't have room for improvement. Lord, we've got areas of our life that we need to get in line. We've got character issues and weaknesses and flaws that we need to get in line with the perfect plan and will of God. Would you help us to do so tonight? Spirit of God, lead us in that area. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory and give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now go back to Psalm 15. In our text verses tonight, we can see several things that point to a life of character, Christ-like character, godly character for a Christian. First of all, David starts off the verses that we read tonight. He starts off by asking a question, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? That's a fair question, right? Lord, what do you expect? What do you want from us? What kind of Christian do you want us to be? How do you want us to represent you? And how do you want us to represent our family? And how do you want us to represent your church? He says, in public, how do you want us to display the name of Almighty God? What do you want? Who can abide in thy tabernacle and represent you? You know, God's saying here and talking about a particular type of person that's willing to live and carry out the ministry of God. You know, we go to the Old Testament, we'll find the ministry and the ministers that are about the tabernacle and what they do there and what the ministries of the Levites were and the priests were. And you know, their whole intent and purpose was to do nothing but serve and go about the business of serving God and carrying out the will and plan of God that would satisfy Him. And if they did it right, it was a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God. Do you know what? They went about their business in the tabernacle. But may I say to you, folks, since there's not a tabernacle today as per such, and there's not Levites, but can I say to you, we are equivalent being believer priests. That we're supposed to be about the ministry of the things of God. And one of the things we're supposed to be doing is representing our God in the right way. Not just inwardly, but outwardly as well. Our theme verse is Romans chapter 8, verse number 29. And the scripture talks about conforming to the image of His Son. That word image is a visual reproduction. It's something that the world needs to see that Christianity is real and that Christianity is not a farce. You see, that word image is a representation of something. It's likeness. This morning, I taught in Sunday school that one of the things that God desires us to do, the Lord has set us an example. Is that correct? He's our example and that we should follow in His steps. Didn't say we would. Didn't say that everybody would do it. But He said we should follow in His steps. Jesus lived a life of principle. Jesus lived a life of character. One of the most effective ways to teach is by using visuals. Because then what you're doing is you're involving the most important information gate, and that's the eye. The most important information gate that comes into the mind and the spirit. So look, if you would, at Psalm 15. Let's study this for just a moment, and then I'll give you the visual aid. David asked the question, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? So here's what David, he asked the question, then he gives the answer to the question, what kind of person, Lord, do you expect us to be? What kind of principles do you expect us to have? What is it that you desire from us? Look at what he says in verse number 2. He says, he that walketh uprightly. That means that this has got to be a person that lives by principles. This is a person that lives the principled life. You say, preacher, where do we get our principles from? Right here from the Bible. And so he said, a person that walks uprightly, this is the kind of person that stays in favor with God. This is the kind of person that walks in the tabernacle of God and about the ministry of the things of God. He that walketh uprightly, that lives by principles. Let me ask you a question tonight, church. Have you got principles in your life? Has your principles already predetermined what your answers are going to be and what your choices? Do you know that the principles I stand in have already answered the questions that will ever before they ever come to me? I've already got the answers before the questions ever asked. Now, I promise you the question will be asked one day. And you will be put in a position that if you do not have biblical principles and stand on them, what you'll do is you'll make a decision off the cuff that's going to hurt you in the long run. Your principles already establish your answers. So I know when certain things come, the principles that I stand on from the Word of God have already given me the answer. So when the question comes, I've already got it. I know what the answer is going to be. You see, for some of us, it's so hard for so many of us to say no. That just two little letters, no. But it's so hard for people to say no. Now, let me tell you something. Your faith will be tested one day. Your principles will be tested. Your character will be tested. Listen to me. Your ethics will be tested. And your name and integrity will be tested one day. But your principles predetermine your answers before the questions ever come. So David said, I'll tell you who can abide in thy tabernacle. He that walketh uprightly. He that lives the principled life. Look what else he said. And not just he that walketh uprightly, but he that worketh righteousness. He said, not just a person that lives by principles, listen now, but a person that practices the principles that he believes. So he said, not only is it a man that walks upright, not only is it a person that lives by principles, but he says it's a person that practices principles in their life. Listen, we need to practice good biblical principles at home. We need to practice them on our job. We need to practice them in public. We need to practice them at the grocery store. We need to practice them on the ball field. And by the way, you guys that and young ladies that get out there and you play a sporting event, did you know your principles are on display as well? Your character is on display as well? Hey, listen, I've been there. I know. I understand. Ref makes a bad call. You can throw a fit if you want to. But your character's on display. Your principles are on display. Your ethics are on display. Your integrity's on display. You see, he said, he that walketh uprightly, that's those that have principles and live by principles. He said, then he that worketh righteousness or right living, that's people that practice it, that actually practice it every day of their life. Look what he says in verse 2. The next thing, he says, and speaketh the truth in his heart. That's a man that's honest with God and men. That's honest before God. Hey, folks, you know, it's all right to be honest before God. God already knows what your heart is. He already knows what your thoughts are. So you might as well fess up because he knows. But don't be just honest with God. Be honest with men. Be honest before people. You make a mistake, fess up to it. You do something wrong, admit you did something wrong. He said, listen, I'll tell you who's going to abide in this type of life. He that walks upright, that lives by principles. He that worketh righteousness, that practices biblical principles. And then he that speaketh the truth in his heart. Oh, by the way, that's whether it benefits you or it doesn't benefit you. That's regardless of what comes your way. You be honest. You know what that is? That is integrity. That's character. And the reason a person will tell the truth, regardless of whether it benefits them or not, because they have principles from the Bible that they stand on. Look what else he says. He goes on to say, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, not a gossiper, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Remember we learned in 1 Peter this morning, chapter 2, not railing for railing, evil for evil. Okay? He says, a person of character and principle won't do that. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, and he honor them that fear the Lord. But I want you to notice this. This is what I'm getting to. He that sweareth to his own hurt, even though it doesn't benefit him, even though he may suffer to take a stand, but I want you to notice what it says, and changeth not. He does not change. No situational ethics. He stands on truth. And if truth comes at, if things come at him and circumstances come at him and he has to make a decision based on his principles, he makes that decision regardless of whether he benefits or not. And he stands on that. No situational ethics. He said, he changeth not. So David is nailing down here. And then he concludes, go to verse number 5. Then David concludes by saying this, church. He said, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Live the principled life. You live the life of character. He said, that person will never be moved. They'll not move when circumstances change. And by the way, it's a temptation to change your stand when circumstances change. When everybody's doing something that you know is not principled from Scripture, when you know that everybody's doing something that's not character-laden or that of integrity or ethical from Scripture, it's so easy to slide that direction. But you know what he said? You practice these principles, that person will not change and they'll never be moved when circumstances change. They'll not move when people change. You know, people change. People change. And people have people that they look up to. But I found out that even though sometimes people that you look up to, they change, and sometimes it's not for the better. But that doesn't give you a red flag to change and go that way. You stay on the principles. You stay with what the Scripture says. You don't change and move. He said, you practice these things, they'll not be moved. You'll not move when people change, when circumstances change. You'll not move when it benefits them or it doesn't benefit them. You'll not move when there's peer pressure, when peer pressure comes. Do you know there's peer pressure on adults? Yeah, big time. It's not just teenagers, it's not just kids. There's peer pressure on adults, on the job, and in family. There's family peer pressure. Anybody here ever had family members try to press you into doing something you know wasn't the right thing to do? And you took a stand, and they got mad at you and kind of griped at you and told you was an old fuddy-duddy and you're messing up Christmas and, man, you messed up Thanksgiving for everybody. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about? Because you stood on principle and said, you know what? All right, if we're going to break out the keg, I got to go. Okay? Keg comes out, I got to go. Now listen, they already know. That's already a principle with me. That's already a truth with me. And when it comes up, that's already answered. They know it. So if you bring it out, then you force me to make that decision. So don't get mad at me for making my decision based on my principles. And by the way, they'll test you on it. They'll test you and see if you are genuine. You'll get tested to see if you're going to stand on principle or if you're one of these situational ethics people. They'll not move when peer pressure comes. They'll not move when doubts come. Take your Bible, go to Acts 20 for a moment. Okay, go to Acts chapter 20. And this is not our visual. We'll get there in just a moment. Acts chapter 20, I want to show you something here. Verse 17. Acts 20. The Scripture says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church, Paul did. And when they were come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Everybody understand how many times Paul's life was threatened? How many times he was threatened because of what he stood by and what he stood on? He says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greek, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Well, we know what was going to befall him there because we have the complete canon of Scripture. He's going to get arrested and he's going to be sent off. He said, but I'm going right into the teeth of it. He said, but you know what? Regardless of what comes, I'm standing on what's right. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Look at this now, verse 24. He said, even though all these things have happened to me and may happen, listen, but none of these things move me. He says, I'm going to Jerusalem. I may be persecuted. I may be made fun of. I may be arrested, whatever it may be. He says, I'm going to tell you, regardless of what happens, none of these things move me. He says, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said, you know what? When I show up in Jerusalem, they're going to know who I am. They said, "Oh, Paul, please don't go. Something bad's going to happen." He said, "If it does, I'm still standing on truth. I'm still standing on principle. I'm still going to live the character life. I'm still going to keep my integrity." You say, "Man, preacher, what kind of life is this? What kind of peculiar people does God want?" I tell you what He wants. He wants principled people. He wants character people. He wants men and women of integrity, and boys and girls of integrity, and teenagers of integrity. You see, I'm here to tell you, listen, that image of His Son that we're being conformed to, God wants us to reflect godly character. He wants to mold us and construct us through His Holy Spirit to live a life that's pleasing to Him, not to you. Because if it's left up to you and I, you know what? We'll lie when it's convenient. We'll be deceptive when it's convenient. We'll disobey when it's convenient. But listen, if you've got principles that you stand on, that's set and ingrained in your heart, you'll not be moved and you'll not change. You'll not. Once you make that commitment. Now, with that said, I've used these scriptures to kind of introduce tonight our visual aid. Probably, my opinion, the one person in Scripture that visualizes the character of character, that had his life tested in every possible area that you can imagine, and yet he stood for God. He did not sin with his lips. He did not sin against God. He did not curse God when he had every opportunity to. He did not succumb to peer pressure. He took what came his way. So I want you to take your Bible tonight. We're going to finish our study in the book of Job. So if you'll turn there, if you would, please. Probably the man, in my opinion, that probably is the greatest representative of character in Scripture. He's going to be our visual aid tonight. Job had solid principles. Job had mature integrity and ethics. You see, Job exemplifies the conforming life. Job exemplifies the principled life. Job exemplifies a life that is lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. He exemplified this. He was the man in Scripture, outside of Jesus Christ, that exemplified that conforming life more than anybody. You see, Job's integrity, his character, his principles, his ethics, all of this was put on trial. And can I tell you, so were yours. You're going to go on trial one day. You're going to find yourself in a situation to where these things in your life will be tested. Now, let me say this before we read a verse or two. When you read the book of Job, you say, "Oh man, I'll tell you one thing, Satan attacked him and just hated him and just despised him." Let me stop and say something here. Satan, it wasn't that Satan hated Job. You know what Satan was trying to do? He's trying to crack Job. That's what he's trying to do. He was trying to prove God that, you know what? You do certain things to certain people, they'll crack. They'll jump off that principle ship. They'll jump off that ethics ship. They'll jump off of that boat of integrity. Listen, you put enough pressure on them, they'll crack. So you know what he tried to do? That's what he tried. He tried to track his character. He tried to crack his character and crack his principles. But I want you to notice in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Now I want you to notice what God said about him. "And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and escheweth evil." Did you notice all those things, those characteristics there? You know what those are? Those are elements of good character. He said, "I've got a man that is the absolute display. I've got a man that is the absolute epitome of everything I'm talking about as far as the character life, the principled life, the ethical life. I've got a man that serves me that's like that." Well, we know that as we go on and read, are you there? Look, if you would, in verse 8. Satan comes before the Lord. He said, "I've been to and fro on the earth, walking up and down in it." Verse 8, "The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered," and I want you to notice this other aspect, "my servant? Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Stop. How many times has he mentioned that? It's twice already. Three different times in two chapters, he connects Job with the principled life. He connects Job as one who displayed the character of genuine Christian and godly character. Well, Satan answered the Lord and said, verse 9, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Listen now. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. He said, you know what? You may think he's perfect, but you let me have him for just a little bit, and I'll guarantee you I'll crack his ethics. I'll crack his principles. I'll crack his character. And you know what? He'll curse you to your face. God said, that's fine. Go ahead and touch all that he has. Now, here's what I want to do tonight for a moment, church. In our visual illustration of this man, in my opinion, who is the epitome of character, the epitome of the principled life, I want to look at four areas in which Job was tested. The first area that I want to look at, if you would, I just read you just a moment ago, Job was tested in his material life. Look at verse 11. He put forth his hand, touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, church, listen to me. When Satan got the green light, now most believers get all out of whack when you start reading about the life of Job. Because they say, I don't understand. Why did God allow this? Why did God allow this to happen? Stop. Did God already know who he was? Did God know what kind of principles he had already established? Did he know what kind of integrity he had? Did he know what kind of character? Yeah. Hey, you think this is the first time that Job has been on display? Of course not. Job's been tested before. So God said, we're just going to heat up the testing a little bit. He said, you go ahead, just don't take his life. You touch all that he has. And boy, did he. He took everything Job had. All of his possessions, had 10 children, a strong wind came, blew the house down, killed all 10 of them. And they came, listen now, they came one right after the next and told him, oh, by the way, you ain't got no more possessions. Oh, by the way, you ain't got no more houses. Oh, by the way, your children are gone. Oh, by the way, you're broke. You have nothing now. It's all gone, burn up. Job was tested in his material life. He lost his wealth. He lost his servants. Listen now, he was a rich man. Guess what happens when all of a sudden he had all of this, now he has none? He lost his reputation. He lost his reputation. Hey, the scripture said he was the greatest of all the men in the East. And everything was taken away from him. I want to ask you tonight, church, I wonder if everything was taken away from you. I wonder if you could respond like Job, if everything was taken away from you. Hey, that's when real character comes out. He was tested in his material life. But you listen to me. Though Job had wealth, though Job had possessions, listen to me, his integrity helped him weather prosperity. He didn't get the big head. He didn't get arrogant. He didn't get prideful. It was his character. It was his principles. It was his integrity that helped him weather the prosperity. I believe Job was a giving man. He was tested in everything. All of his material life, everything taken, everything gone. I wonder how many believers today, if that happened to them, they'd throw the white flag up and say, I'm done. Do you know there's a lot of people sitting on the sidelines, on the curb of their Christian life, you know what? They threw up the white flag. Because, listen, and they threw it up and God didn't even allow all their stuff to be taken. Something happened and the white flag went up and said, I'm done. I'm done serving God. You see, Job was tested. His principles, everything about his character was tested. God allowed Satan to test him and took all, everything. His material life was tested. Look on down, if you would, to verse number 18. Verse 18. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now, look down, if you would, to chapter 2, verse 9. So now his 10 children are gone, killed in an accident. He's been tested in his material life. Everything's been taken from him. And look at verse number 9. After other things begin to happen, we'll get to them in a moment. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine? Does your Bible say integrity? He said, after all that's happened, he said, our kids are dead. All the possessions are taken. He said, are you still going to keep your principles? Are you still going to live the character life? Are you still going to live a life of integrity? You see, Job was tested in his material life. Listen to me now. He was tested in his private life. Now we're starting to get hit home. Now we're starting to talk about family. Possessions? Ah. But now we're starting to talk about family. Now Satan had touched now his family and taken 10 of his children from him. He was tested in his private life. He lost his children. He lost his wife's confidence. He lost his closeness and security and joy. No more laughter. Hey, there wasn't no more time, no more Christmas, no more Thanksgiving anymore. Hey, he lost all that. No more laughter. They didn't meet together for family reunions and sit around and enjoy a meal together anymore. That was all gone. No more going to the boys' ball games anymore. No more going to the girls' volleyball games anymore. No more family trips. No more vacations. Why? Because now the testing reached from his material life to his private life. Let me tell you something. If people don't fall on their principles in their material life, let me tell you something, my friend. You listen to me. It's tough to stand when it affects your private life. When he hits home in your private life, that's one of the toughest tests you'll go through of what kind of character you have and what kind of principles that you stand on. And yet Job was able to endure the material test. He was able to endure the test of his private life. Wait a minute, it doesn't stop there. Jump back up to Job chapter 2 and verse 7. I tell you, go back up to verse 4. Remember, Satan comes to the Lord again. God mentions in verse 3 the same elements of character in verse 3. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Satan answered in verse 4. He answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Listen now. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Everything. He'll give anything up to stay alive. Now, jump down if you would to verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. So now, not only is his material life tested, not only is his character tested in his private life, listen now, now his character and his principles are tested in his physical life. See, he touched his material items. He touched his family. Listen, now he's touching Job. He's testing him in his physical life. He lost his health. He lost his livelihood. He lost his abilities. Hey, listen, you think that with all the sores and boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, you think he was able to continue on doing some of the things that he had done normally from day to day? No. All of that was taken from him. He was tested in his physical life. Let me tell you something. If you've got good health, you need to fall on your face before God and thank God that you've got good health. Because let me tell you something. It could be tomorrow that it could be gone. And let me tell you something. When God starts touching your body, it'll test your principles. It'll test your character. It'll test whether or not you're going to stand for God. It'll test your integrity. It'll test your ethic. It'll test everything about your conforming life that you live. You see, you say, well, I can buy me another car. You say, well, you know what? I don't know what I can do about all my private life situation. It hurts. Let me tell you something. There's nothing like when he touches you personally and touches you physically. Job was tested in his material life, his private life, his physical life. And let me show you in chapter 2, verse number 11, he was also tested in his social life. All his possessions gone, children gone, wife says, curse God and die. Are you still going to retain your integrity? touched his private life, touched his physical life. He's sitting here now with boils, pus running out everywhere. He's scraping himself, raw skin, flies swarming all around him. You going to retain your principles? Hey, Mr. Job, you still going to serve God? Just because you got some physical infirmities? And then guess what happens? Then he gets tested in his social life. You know who shows up? Some of his little buddies, his little cronies show up. They heard that he was going through a hard time. So they come and they see that he is in anguish and pain. You know what they do? They sit down with him and watch him and don't say a word for 7 days. Now listen, most teenagers, it's tough to have somebody stare at you, isn't it? They just stare at you. Most teenagers are like, whew. See, people don't like people, folks staring at them. How about, listen, they don't like for them to stare at them 7 seconds, much less 7 days. Didn't say anything. Can I tell you, he was tested in his social life. You listen to me, listen to me well, church. Job was questioned by his family, his wife. You still going to retain your integrity? Curse God and die. He was questioned by his friends. We don't have time to go through all that. You go read the book of Job. And you know what? They felt led to tell them why he was going through all of this. And yet, listen to me. It's very important that we get this. Look, if you would, in verse 22. In all this, not some of it, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You know what? I think the old boy had some principles, don't you? I think the old boy had some character. I think the old boy probably had seen God do some great things in his life before. And though he didn't understand everything that was happening, he had already established principles. He had already established some ethics in his life. He says, regardless of what comes my way, I'm standing on them. He was questioned by family, questioned by friends. Oh, listen to me. He said, well, you can get around them. Yeah, but keep in mind, God touched his body. Go to chapter 3. Let me show you something. Now his own flesh is questioning him. Look in chapter 3. Job says, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. So you know what he was now being tested? His flesh. His flesh with the pain, the problems, and now his flesh was questioning his own integrity. Satan, his target was to get Job to curse God, to crack his character. Church, listen to me. You know what the devil wants? First of all, he wants to hurt God. But you know how he can hurt God the most? Crack God's people. And prove before the world that you're a phony. You hear me? To prove before the world that you don't actually believe what you say you believe. You say you have principles. You say you have integrity. You say you have ethics. But listen, Satan said, you know what? You let me have him, and a man will give all that he has for his life. Everything. I love reading Fox's Book of Martyrs. Now, it takes a strong stomach to read Fox's Book of Martyrs in its original, okay, not the politically correct version, but in its original. Men, women, boys, girls, teenagers being beheaded for the cause of Christ. They were given every opportunity to go back on their principles. They were given every opportunity to go back on their integrity, and they refused to. Some were beheaded. Some were drugged through the streets behind horses. Some were disemboweled and put in a croaker sack or a potato sack and thrown in the river. Many times they would tie their parents up to a post at the river and take their little babies and put them in a potato sack and said, listen, you recant now. You change your position or we're going to throw your baby in the river. They said, you know what? God's been good to us. We can't turn back now. And they throw their child into a river and let it sink to the bottom. You say, oh my goodness, Oh, preacher, I don't know what I'd do. I tell you what these people did. They stood for God. He said, I don't know if I can. Well, let me tell you something. Remember what David said? Who can abide in thy tabernacle? Who is it that can stand up when difficulties come and when situations and circumstances come? You see, Satan wants to expose us, dear friend. He wants to present to us and to the world that Christians are frauds. He wants to crack us. Listen, he wanted to expose Job to his family, his friends, and his God as a man that talked the talk but couldn't walk the walk. I remember a little song years ago. Many of you don't remember, or may not. Some of you may remember Johnny and Nelda Flanagan. They were at our church, and they had a little song. And the little song went something like this. This is the chorus. I don't know what the verse is. The little chorus went like this. Your walk talks, and your talk talks, but your walk talks more than your talk talks. So when you walk, and when you talk, remember your walk talks the loudest. Remember that? And can I say to you, your walk does talk louder than your talk. So Job, God didn't say, I'm not going to test him have him speak up and give his opinion. You know what? I'm going to test him in every area. I'm going to test his material life, his private life, his physical life, his social life. And let me tell you something. I don't have time to go there. But when you go to the end of the whole book, you know what? God said, you know what, Job, you did good. But he knew he was going to do good from day one. That's a reason he presented Job. Right, see my servant Job? You want some of him? Try him. Try it. Let me ask you that tonight, church. I wonder if there's anybody in here that said, oh, Satan, have you considered my servant, brother so-and-so? Have you considered my servant, Mrs. so-and-so? I wonder if God could put any of us on display tonight. I wonder if he could say, after it's all said and done, you did good. I wonder for any of us today, he says, have you tried? Have you checked out my servant Job? He's a perfect man, an upright man, one that feared God and escheweth evil. Well, let me give you a couple of thoughts here and I'm done. Just jot them down. Here's the character of character. First of all, God knows who's going to live it and who's not. God knows who's going to live the principled life and who's not. That's why he offered Job up. You considered my servant Job? Can I say to you, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just saying, when's the last time that your faith's been tested? When's the last time your character's been tested? When's the last time your principles have been tested? You say, like what? Oh, like when you go to the grocery store, ladies, and you get a little teenage cashier, and this is my first day. I'm really nervous. And she gives you $5 or $6 back more. And you're thinking, well, finders keepers, losers reapers. And you know what God's saying? Now, I can't trust you. I can't trust you in a crisis time, so I can't put you on display before your family and the world, because if I put you on display and press you too hard, too much peer pressure, you're going to crack and you're going to present a false idea to your family of what Christianity is. Can't put you on display. Let me tell you something, my dear friend. You read about those dear martyred people in Hebrews chapter 11. You read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. You know what? I think there's going to be some incredible, incredible rewards and crowns for those dear people. Why? Because they were put to the test and they would not succumb. They would not. That's what I'm talking about. God knows who's going to live it and who's not. You see, God knew that Job not only believed it, but he lived it. God knows who he can put on display and who he can't. Number two, the character of character is this. It's a continual, committed life, not a life of compromise. Look quickly at verse 5 for just a moment. And it was so when the days of their fasting or feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up, he's talking about his children, early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Listen now. Thus did Job. How often? Continually. He did it over and over and over and over and over. It had nothing to do with situational issues. He did the same thing over and over and over and over again. You see, Job didn't practice principles and ethics just when it was convenient for people to see it. He practiced them even when people couldn't see it. Number three, the character of character is not only a continual committed life, not a life of compromise, it's a surrendered life to God's absolute control. Look in chapter 1, verse 21. Remember, after all this news came, Job rent his clothes, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And this is what he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away." Now listen to this statement. "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Folks, don't look at it when your character and your principles are tested. Don't look at it as something, "Oh no, not me." You ought to say, "Glory to God." We ought to count it all joy that we have the opportunity to be put on display when our principles and our character is tested. It was a surrendered life. Just because God chose his path for Job didn't excuse Job from his principles and his integrity. Last thing, and that's this. The character of character is it's an understanding life of God's perfect will. Look at verse 10, chapter 2. "But he said unto her," after his wife said, "Curse God and die. You still going to retain your integrity?" He said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh." He said, "What?" Listen to this now. This is incredible. "Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil?" He said, "In all this," or the scripture says, "In all this, did not Job sin with his lips?" He said, "Mrs. Job, you mean to tell me that we can't receive good? And we rejoice in receiving good, but that when bad comes, that we have the right to step off of our principles?" He says, "No, we are commanded to receive good at the hand of God and evil at the hand of God." You see, church, God's a just God. And everything He does is for a purpose. And that one purpose is to glorify Him. Let me ask you a question. Did Job glorify God by standing on his principles? Did Job glorify God by retaining his integrity? Can I say to you wholeheartedly tonight? Absolutely. Go read the end of the book. God gave Job everything back plus a time again. Why? Because of his principles. And I just want to say to you tonight, church, you know what God will reward? He rewards the principled life. He rewards the life of character. He rewards the life of integrity. That's a reason, regardless of what comes your way, Job stood on his principles. He got tested. Never. His material life was tested. Everything taken. His private life was tested. His social life was tested. Everything about his life was tested. But you know what? He didn't change. He didn't sin against God. He didn't charge God foolishly. He stood on those principles. Let me ask you, could you do this? If God says, "You know what? Consider my servant so-and-so," could you stand if this came your way? Would you bow your heads tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who can say tonight, "Preacher, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian, saved, no question about it." Slip your hand way up high and say, "That's me. I'm saved.